everyone.
Morning.
We'll begin with all of his cries and complaints. Remember, he's called the weeping preacher. I don't know how many of you all are. I am over emotional. I've seen babies born. I've held people's hands where they die. But I cried through half of those commercials at the Super Bowl. Now, some of them were so bad, but some of them, the tears were coming out. And by the way, Mr. Peanut had a baby, and they're okay now. But some things just get me. Hallmark cards and Campbell's soup and stuff, they just get me. So to be emotional, in my opinion, it's okay if you control it, which I can't. This is what the Lord said to me. So now here's is Jeremiah saying, it's not my idea. God's telling me this. I'm just a messenger, okay? Don't shoot the messenger. Go and buy a linen belt and put it around your waist and do not let it touch water. All right, linen is a material in the time of the ancients that was made when they would harvest the flax branch. It was a long, tall, water-based plant. They would take it and break it down and pull the fibers out of it. They were very fine fibers. It's what they do with hemp. They break out the outer skin and they pull the fibers out and they can weave it and do things. Somebody, it's that pillow guy, I think, or somebody's making bed sheets now made with the linen from, where does he call it from? Huh? He calls Giza. It's not, it's guy, it's Giza. It's the Gaza Strip's where it is. Located between the Red Sea, and it's the only place it could be, is the Gaza Strip. So, and it's a very fine, I think some of the Egyptian linen comes, it's got 3,000 threads per inch. Now, that's pretty fine stuff. Go and buy a linen belt, put it around your waist. Do not let it touch water. How much more specific could you be? But whatever it is, there's reason God's given him. Sometimes he said, can you do it? As though I bought a belt, so I bought a belt, as the Lord directed, and put it around my waist. Would you not think that that doesn't even need to be said? God said, buy a belt. I'm going to go buy a belt. It works, you know. But he's just saying, here's the timeline. Then the word of the Lord came to me a second time. All right, what would have happened, I have to say, if after God told him the first time, go buy a belt, he decided, I don't have any money. I don't like a belt. I don't like linen. I don't like the people that sells linen. I mean, he could have a dozen reasons. And I'm too busy to go buy a linen belt. And besides, I'm too fat to wear a belt or I'm too skinny to wear a belt. It falls off my hips. I don't know. Thankfully, he did. I guess had he not. You know, the whole question, you got to go back a couple thousand years. Ahead, a couple thousand years here, 100 years here and back for us. What if Mary said, me have a baby at my age, I'll lose my figure. It's not the time. I haven't been to the prom yet. And he started giving the angel a bunch of excuses. Would that have been an opportunity lost? You know, instead of being Mother Mary, been Mother Raphael or Aunt Augusta or something. I don't know. But he bought a belt. And God said, take the belt you bought and you're wearing around your waist and now go to Perth. Now, did you look that city up for me? Last week, did we talk about that city? Well, I didn't want it last week. This is this week. P-E-R-A-T-H. In the fullness of time. P-E-R-A-T-H. Go now to P-E-R-A-T-H. P-E-R-A-T-H. And hide it there in the crevice of a rock. Now, I know we have some kind of church song that says something to the effect of hidden in the crevice of a rock. It's a crack. It's an opening where a rock has got two rocks. There's a space between them. So there evidently was a big enough space in between them to hide this linen belt. When I did it, I went to and hid it at Perth as the Lord told me. Good answer. Retrospect. How many times have you felt, and this is a multiple question, and you can answer it, you can think about it, you can not answer it. Have you thought, maybe the Lord was trying to tell you something? Just stop the question right there. Can you think of a time where God was trying to tell you something? Then the next question is, did you listen? Did you laugh and turn away? Third question is, Well, think about Sarah. God says, you're going to have a baby in a year. I ain't had no baby. I'm 80-something years old. I ain't have no baby. Well, did you listen? And did you do what was told? If you didn't, do you ever see that you missed an opportunity? If you did you ever realize that it was a positive thing that you did? And there's probably in most of our lives a time or two where you just felt this little urge to do something, or make a phone call to somebody, and they said, oh, I'm so glad you called, or you were so glad you called when you found out the answer. And I think God can talk to us. My personal belief, God can talk to us and does. He has told us that He's given us the Holy Spirit. It's in the book of Acts, second chapter, that He's given us the Holy Spirit, and that He can talk to us and tell us what He wants. The question is, how do we respond? Uncle Sam wants you. Do you remember that? Uncle Sam wants you, and the guy pointing down during the wartime posters, something like that. And many responded to that. We go on like this. Many days later, the Lord said to me, now go to Parath and get the belt where I told you to hide it. Now, how many is many? How many is many?
It could be 5, it could be 50. Many.
You answered the question with a question.
No, I just made a statement.
Yeah. What if it's many months? Many days? How many days are in a year?
In other words,
More than one is many? You know the definition of a minute? Depends on which side of the bathroom door you're on. Many days later, after a period of time, that God was making something happen. In the meantime, of course, He says, go get, you got the town yet? Can't find it?
It was
It's all Greek to me. My technological front row up here. Go get that belt I told you to hide there. So I went to Parath and dug up the belt. Now, if he dug it up, he must have covered it with something, wouldn't you think? Now, can you imagine getting a fine, fine linen going down between a bunch of rocks, which rocks usually, if they're in a moist area, collect dew, and the dew could run on the linen that would soak it up. You got it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I need a topographical map. Could you do a little better? Here's what I want to point at. If you see the topographical, see the little bumpities there? Keep going. Blow it up as big as you can blow it up. Now, you're right. See in here? This shows us that this is in a mountain area. So finding a cleft in the rock would not be hard. And second, to imagine, depending on the height of it, if you get too high, it's too dry. But depending on the height of it, it could be a very moist area. It is an isolated area. Don't think anybody was going to find it. This was something between him and God, hiding that belt at that spot. He says, so I went to Perth and dug it up, the belt, and I took it from the place where I'd hidden it. But now it was ruined and completely useless. So it sat there. Did you ever reach back in your refrigerator, way back in the refrigerator, behind the big bottle of ketchup or something like that, and there's something green with feet coming out of it, you know, and you're saying, try this and tell me if it's any good. You ask somebody like that, try you. Yeah, that's the magic. It's ruined. The water got to it. The dirt may have gotten to it. The clay, whatever was there. And so this expensive linen garment. Linen was the material that the high priest's gown was made out of, the epithix called. So it was a very fine, it was the undergarments that the king would wear. So it was a very fine piece of cloth. It was completely useless. Now that word completely may be the key to the whole thing. Couldn't even make salvage out of it. Then the word of the Lord came to me. This is what the Lord says. In the same way I will ruin the pride of Judah, and the great pride of Jerusalem. You think God's a little bit upset? You think God's a whole lot upset? Now, God could have taken that linen cloth belt and made it go bad in 8 seconds or less, if he wished. But he wanted to let them know there was a period of time involved there. Many days were involved there. This is an object lesson. Ask Mr. Wizard. You remember, any of y'all remember Ask Mr. Wizard? He would give us science experiments. It was always usually an object lesson. Captain Kangaroo, the great Bob Keeshing. And most of us are the Captain Kangaroo generation, where he would teach us those object lessons. Usually involved a shoebox. I don't know why I work for U.S. Kids or something, but it involved a shoebox. These wicked people who refuse to listen to my words and who follow stubbornness of their hearts and go after other gods to serve and worship them. That's the pride he's talking about. They refused to listen to God. And by refusing to listen to God, what have they done? What's God been telling them since the time immemorial? What's he been telling them? At least from the Ten Commandments. Let's go to the set of starting point. From the Ten Commandments, what's he been telling them? One of the commandments says it. Charles? Thou shalt not worship other gods before me. Simple. That is not varied. So when you tell somebody over and over and over and over and over, and they still don't listen, what are you going to think about it? Don't care? Don't know? Constance? Constance? The wicked people refuse to listen to my words. They follow the stubbornness of their heart. They do what they want to do. I'm independent. I'm an American. I'm a free person. I'll do very well what I want to do, and it doesn't matter about the rules. That's what they're saying right here. It doesn't matter about the rules. And God is a little bit, God seems to be a whole lot put out. He gave them the rules. This is what is best for you. If you remember some of the itty-bitty rules, they didn't make a lot of sense. When Peter came around and changed them. Don't eat pork. Don't eat shellfish. Remember those two dietary rules? Don't eat pork and shellfish. Well, guess what? They changed it, but why did he tell them it first? Health. Like what, Janet Sue?
Not clean.
They were not clean. What does pork do? What does pork have in it you don't want a piece of? Trigonosis. Little bitty worms that grow into your muscles. Cause tremendous pain. With refrigeration or with better cooking, it wasn't there. What about... Western Kentucky at that. Yes, and you got a bunch of hillbillies in here. Shellfish. You ever go fishing with shrimp bait, live shrimp bait, and you cut the shrimp in half because you're cheap or frugal, and you lay the half of it on the side of the boat, and you go back about 20 minutes later, and it's salami? That probably wouldn't be healthy. God's given them rules for their own good. Those of you who cook chicken, which I guess most of you do. My understanding, if you got chicken on the counter, you're supposed to clean, sanitize, vegetize some the counter, get all that chicken juice off there, because it can give you germs. I had a good one. I had a really good one. I'll have to tell you what it is that I remembered. Germs can be transported. The one with the milk. See, a true Jewish kitchen is really four kitchens. Dairy can't be with any of their meat products at all. Separated. So, therefore, he says, they've done what they want to do. I've given these rules, and they didn't listen. And I bet your grandmother told you don't eat green apples because you're going to bellyache, and you ate green apples, and you got a bellyache. And she said, told you so. There'll be like this belt, completely useless. For as a belt was around a man's waist, so I bound the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to me. And we know that. God has protected the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Judah. The only one of the two tribes we still have a name for is Judah. So God had protected them. But after a period of time, he's gotten tired of them. Chuck. No, it's just the opposite. They were leading the pack of do what you want to do. They were graft. Yeah. See, if you remember prior to Samuel, Eli was the high priest. His two sons were bad. I mean, like, really, really bad. Like, in the newspaper times, bad. And God said, I'm out of here. He wasn't changing anything. Samuel came along and he went back to God. So therefore, when you do not listen, why do you expect not to be punished? And they were. Was it not, and maybe you're inferring this, Chuck, the Sanhedrin and the priest and the scribes that arrested Jesus and wanted him put to death? So I don't think you would have thought, the king of the Jews, but just like Herod, instead of king of the Jews, welcome in, it's king of the Jews, let's get rid of him. Because we don't want the competition. Yes, are you waving? I didn't think so. I was going to make sure. I didn't want to leave you left out. So, my people, he goes on, declares the Lord, to be my people for my own renown and praise and honor, but they have not listened. You expect your friends and your family to be on your side. You don't expect them to turn on you. There was a fairly successful television show back in the 70s for us, was filmed, supposed to be in the 50s, called Happy Days. And one time, Richie was going in the kitchen of the school because he was claiming it was bad food, I don't know. Well, what they discovered in there, that part of the food they were serving was liver. And you remember Fonzie Fonzie was, liver, one thing, you know, it's like kryptonite, it was bad liver. And Richie took a picture and was going to let everybody know that Fonzie was scared of liver. He says, Robin doesn't turn on Batman. Tonto doesn't turn on the Lone Ranger. Why would you turn on me? You expect your friends to support you. And that's what God is trying to tell them. And it got them nowhere, did it? Nowhere. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. The God of Israel says, every wineskin should be filled with wine. And if they say to you, don't we know? Makes a difference. Don't we know that every wineskin should be filled with wine? Then tell them, this is what the Lord says. I'm going to fill with drunkenness. And all who live in this land, including the kings who sit on David's throne, the priests, the prophets, and all those living in Jerusalem, I will smash them one against another, fathers and sons alike, declares the Lord. I will show no pity, no mercy or compassion to keep me from destroying them. He's talking about destroying the group of people that he established through Moses and Aaron to be his representatives among the people. Now, granted, God did not want the kings. We know that back in the Samuel's period. He was against the kings. But yet, once they came in, he could use them. Now he's going to get rid of all of them because they had... There was two words that I hated the most in my life, I truly do believe, especially about March or April back home, called spring cleaning. Y'all remember spring cleaning? Yeah. Well, we're at our advanced age now, we're in a perpetual group of spring cleaning called clean it out and throw it away. Becky's finding stuff that we had from the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. We don't need this. We don't need it. I'm thinking, I've moved them 23 times and we don't need them today. And I get to move them again. But God says, I'm going to spring clean this bunch. I'm tired of putting up with what I've got. It's not doing me. And if you've ever had something, did you ever look back in your picture book, photo album they call it? Who is that? And why do I have them in this book? And what party was that I went to? The commercial that got me the most, it's still playing, was a guy talking to Alexa. Alexa, tell me something, show my wife's picture, and tell me about this trip, and what did I like, and what did we used to say, and show me the movie. And it's obvious that the lady has died, and he's in quite bad shape as well. And Alexa plays. Isn't that sad? That the things that were so important to us, we have to be reminded of. And maybe we need to be reminded of a lot of things. And God's trying to remind Israel of what he's done for them, and they don't want to hear it. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame? I suspect, I would predict, that if we knew our house was going to be blown up in 30 seconds, what would we grab first and take out? I was going to say the cell phone, but I can see your point, Denise. Thank you very much. Denise would take the cat. Most of us would take the cell phone. And put the cat in it. As the wise man Ronnie says, I'm just leaving. You would take your wife. See, we've got 10 different ideas already. We've not even got into it in depth. Okay. So, Jeff, tough luck, son. She's taking the cat. Huh? Nothing new. To each their own. That's why we have a men's dinner and a women's dinner on Tuesdays. The rest of the chapter talks about the threat of captivity. Now, the Jews have always considered themselves free and independent people. But God has used many times, even back as far as David, captivity from foreign powers to straighten them out, to bring them back, to try to teach them a lesson. He's going to do it again. And he's done it several times since this time. In 14, this is the word of the Lord to Jeremiah concerning drought. Judah mourns and her cities languish. They wail for the land. They cry. The cry goes up from Jerusalem. The nobles and they sent their servants for water. They go in the cisterns. And the whole thing talks about without water. How many of you all right now have either a cup of water or a bottle of something with you? A cup of something. Coffee, something. Cup of liquid. Most of us got. I see. Dick, raise your hand. There's a cup right in front of you. Well, that's not my fault. You know, I hardly leave the house in the morning without a bottle of water or something. We depend on water. And if you've been a farmer, like some of these guys were, a herdsman, like you water the animals, you do the vineyards and the water crops, water is very important. But God can shut it off. Well, we all talked about 88. Do you remember John Steinbeck wrote a couple books and basically talking about California during the Dust Bowl of mice and men or the Fields of Wrath, about how, and Ray would talk about where he lived in Indiana, where it was so dusty, the wind would come and actually blow the dust through the cracks in the boards and you're not that old, you don't remember that. Through the cracks. You had an Oklahoma where the Indians live. The Dust Bowl. Just so without water, and God shuts the water off, it's going to be bad. And that's what he knows that will speak to them. Verse 11 in 14, then the Lord said to me, do not pray for the well-being of these people. Although they fast, I will not listen to their cry. Although they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Instead, I will destroy them with the sword, famine, and plague.
Season, we've got to get to the pond and clean it out and refurbish it, because this winter we'll need that water.
Well, farm kids didn't get a lot of trouble. They didn't have enough energy left at the end of the day to start something.
Didn't know how.
No. Got that much energy? Go dig a ditch and fill it in. Well, Jeremiah's not happy about that. In verse 13, he says, "Oh, sovereign Lord, the prophets, keep telling them, you will not see the sword or suffer a famine. But I will give you lasting peace in this place." Then the Lord said to me, "The prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them or appointed them or spoken to them." They're prophesying fake, false visions, divinations, idolatries, and delusions. The prophets were liars. And they were telling the people, it's okay. What's that song? Do what you want to do. And we like that in America. We like doing what we want to do. Now, I will not speak of this on Sunday, though it will come across my mind more than once. That halftime show was vulgar at best and sacrilegious at worst. And it really bothered me. But it was raving all over. We love our Latinos, this and that. I mean, she comes out with a Puerto Rican flag. She's wearing a Puerto Rican flag for her outfit. Shakira, whoever that is. And everybody says it's okay. And when everybody tells you it's okay, you must think, well, there's something wrong with me if it's okay and I don't like it. And we've become to accept what is not right. Charles. Yeah, I prefer the marching bands myself. Yeah, the writer once wrote, Bennett wrote, the March to Gomorrah. And I'm not too sure. Matter of fact, I really do believe the world in general, and our country in particular, is on a march to Gomorrah. What we were taught were wrong is okay anymore. It's acceptable. It's honored. It's this, that, and the other. How much longer is God going to put up with us? I guess that's the question. Back then, he said it's okay, so it was okay. Speak to them with words. Let my eyes overflow with tears in verse 17. Night and day without ceasing, from my virgin daughter, my people have suffered a grievous wound, a crushing blow. The people are suffering on their own problem. Have you rejected Judah completely? Do you despise? Now, this is Jeremiah talking back to God. Very few places in the Bible there seems to be a great conversation between God and any individual. Now, this is one of them. The other one it comes to is Job, the discussion between Job and God. Have you considered my Israel? Have you thought about this? Have you thought about, well, he says, do you despise Zion? Why have you afflicted us so we cannot be healed? We hope for peace, but no good has come for time of healing. Lord, we acknowledge our wickedness. Well, the problem is they didn't. Had they done that, they could have repented. I do want to believe, at least in the area I lived in, September 11th was on a Tuesday, I do believe. So 13 is Wednesday, 14, Thursday, 15, that's Friday. 16th, 17th of September was probably, at least was for our area, one of the fullest attendance days of church in decades. Probably since Pearl Harbor. Probably since Pearl Harbor. Because I realize we're in trouble now. Well, how long did that last? Not long enough. Not to today. For the sake of your name, Jeremiah says, do not despair us. Despise us. Do not honor. I'll start over. Do not dishonor your glorious throne. Remember your covenant with us. You made a deal. Don't break the deal. This was a deal. And now you're backing away. Why would this not be considered God punishing Israel? Why would it not be considered breaking the deal? They broke it first. The codicil was, that's a lawyer term. The codicil was, that I don't know. The codicil was, as long as you observe and obey and live for me. It was a part, to make a deal takes two partners. God says, I'll give you all this, but I expect you to live for me and do the right thing. And they had gotten so far away from that, they wouldn't recognize the right thing. How sad it became to be.
Because they'd been told that it was okay.
So are you saying leadership's important, Owen?
Absolutely.
We spent all day discussing that, and I can't disagree with you one bit. But how do we affect leadership? How can we? I mean, each one of us, I assume we're all American citizens, will be allowed one vote in the primary down here. Well, some of you are not from down here, so you wouldn't get that vote. But one vote in the general election. How can your one vote make a difference? Prell. Remember Prell commercials? I told two friends, and they told two friends. Before long, the whole screen was full of Prell friends. If we pray, if we turn it over to God, and then if we do our best to tell why we believe what we believe, and then live it, kind of important, then it can grow. Whomever you're for, it's got to be turned over to God. And then, we have to hold the feet to the fire. I think elections ought to be every 6 months. No, I'm serious. You get them dudes six years up in Washington, D.C.? And I'm not in favor of repeating yourself over and over. What do they call it? I'm in favor of term limits. I mean, he's from Kentucky, the turtle, but he's been up there a long time. I don't even know if he knows where the capital of Kentucky is anymore. Been gone so long. Then the Lord said to me, even if Moses and Samuel, name dropper, were there to stand before me, my heart would not go out to these people. What kind of advocates do you have if you don't have Moses and Samuel? Those were the advocates. God says, I'm not even listening to them dudes. It's that bad. He's that upset. Did you ever go to a restaurant and you had a really, really, really good meal? So I'm going to eat there every Friday night the rest of my life. And the next time you go there and it is absolutely nasty and they're surly with you, and pretty much if you don't like it, somebody else will, and you say, I ain't going back no more. But you go back the next Friday anyway. Huh? Give one more chance, Janet. Give one more chance. Well, sometimes we have to say, this is enough. And I don't want it anymore. I can't do it. It's wrong. And that's what God is trying to tell Mr. Jeremiah, who can't get the picture in his head, that he's got to teach that. Now, if what we're reading in here is correct, it's a one-man show. He's a one-man revival. Doesn't have any kind of mechanical means, newspapers, cell phones. He's got to walk around and talk to people and tell them. But in this time of discussion, if you wish to call it a discussion, a debate, maybe you want to, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, with God, it looks to me like he's not winning. Almost like God said, I've give up. I've washed my hands. Pontius Pilate. But why does God keep talking to him about it if he's already made up his mind? Does he hope for redemption of the people? They are his people. I mean, you've grown up with a family, and one of the family members offends you, and you want to be mad at them, but after a while you say, this is still family. Chuck?
He wants to make sure the people know that after it happened, he did.
It's on me, huh? Because it sure doesn't seem like Jeremiah's taking the blame. I don't know. But the question is, we'll find out later, but is Jeremiah taking any of the responsibility? Is it all because of David's sin? Is it all because of Solomon's wives and multiplicity? To me, that seems to be the breaking point right there, the multiplicity of wives and the religions that he brought in. And each one seemed to say it's okay type of thing. Maybe that's the real problem. There's no hard fastness of what needs to be done. Then I would ask you, in your own mind, even unless you wish to comment, does any of it apply to today? Or does all of it apply to today, maybe? But we don't recognize it. Neither do they. You know, you can convince yourself something is either so good that nobody's going to change your mind, or something's either so bad that nobody's going to change your mind. And you just go along blissfully saying, la-di-da-di-da. Well, scarlet O'Hare. Lottie-dee, lottie-die, tomorrow's another day, something like that. Lottie-die, lottie-dee, tomorrow's another day. And some people live on that. They hope it doesn't stick at all. How sad. Even if Moses and Samuel were to stand before me, right in front of me, between me and Israel, if they're right there, you stand before me, my heart would not go out to the people. The girl that, Chuck.
Never mind saying, you can't see the forest because of the tree.
Well, there's a lot of trees out there, isn't there, that just confuse us. Sally Struthers. Remember Sally Struthers? She does those sad commercials. Is she the one begging money for the dogs, or is she the one begging money for the kids? Okay. Just how sad things are and how terrible they are. And God says, I'm not listening anymore. You didn't want to fix it when you could. Why should I fix it for you? Send them away from my presence, let them go. And they've asked you, where shall we go? Pop, tell them, this is what the Lord says. To those destined for death, to death. For those destined to the sword, to the sword. For those destined to starvation. And for those destined to captivity, to captivity. In other words, I ain't worried about you no more. You're out of here. I've given you my decision. Judge Judy, hit that gavel on the table. It's done. The sentence is going to take place. And if you read those, first three are termination, and the fourth one ain't much better. Captivity, captivity. Those are not good choices. No word says, for second place, you want to cruise the Bahamas. How bad would it have been to woken up about 3 weeks ago on a Monday morning and found out your all-perfect vacation you were taking was in the middle of China in that Chungcheong city? And the person you were sitting with last night at the dinner table that was coughing was the one on the page. The front page was the first case of that virus. That wouldn't be encouraging, would it? Free two-week cruise, Janet said. I will send four kinds of destroyers to them, declares the Lord. The sword, well, we know what that do, to kill the dogs, drag away, the birds of the air, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. Now, that's also talked about in the latter days during the times of the revelation and all the punishment and all the terror that's going on and death. The birds will eat the flesh. The dogs will eat the flesh. By the way, now that Mr. Neese has mentioned cats, dogs weren't pets in the Old Testament, in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament. Dogs were evil animals. The Jews hated them. To the dogs, they were hated because they were scavengers and they eat the dead stuff. So Fluffy and Fido have gotten a lot better position in the last couple thousand years. I will make them all abhorrent. I will make all the kings of the earth because of Manasseh, what the son of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, did in Jerusalem, sacrificing children. Those who were, I missed that line. Who shall I give my pity to? Who will mourn for you? Who will stop and ask how you are? You ever sometimes feel, I wish somebody would even just notice I'm here? How you doing? And they look at me in the eyes. Dr. Jakina Jovich is a commercial in Naples. And she says, when I talk to you, I will look in your eyes and not be typing on the computer. I guess that one-on-one connection type of a thing makes a big difference. Your brother-in-law, when you're talking to your brother-in-law, he said, look at me. You remember your brother-in-law married to your sister? Okay. Thought I was laying something new on you, Nancy. But don't we feel better if somebody's paying attention to us? Well, that's what's going on here. And you tell your children, you know, like that kind of stuff. The rest of this chapter, he's talking about the pain and the problems. Jeremiah is defending himself. I never sat at the company of revelers. Never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was on me. You have filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending? Hey, I was a good guy. I was a designated driver. I was not the one that brought the trouble here. Why am I in trouble? Why do I suffer? Why is my wound grievous and incurable? Why do you make me look like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails? Why am I a loser? I'll just have to put that in there. If you repent, I will restore you, the Lord said. Now, here's the key, bottom line of all these three chapters. If you repent, I will restore you, that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. So he's not getting his elevation to travel and to speak for God. He becomes the prophet here. He's been filled with all this information, and they will continue to give him information in the next several chapters. But his title is, you can be the... Do you ever watch Jeopardy? Now, I watch that spin the wheel on the donkey thing. Not Trevek, the other guy. Vanna White. Yeah. That show does me no good. If it's more than a three-letter word, I can't spell it. And some of those are hard. P-U-G, pig. But Jeopardy. Man, if you get one or two of those right, you feel so good, you know. You're excited about it because I've got some information. And we see some pretty smart people who had to try out and try out and try out to get on that show. Well, he's doing his tryouts now. But instead of saying, I'm real smart, I'm smart, I'll get up on Jeopardy, I'm just going to sit at home and answer the TV, these people say, let me show you what I can do. Except for the computer, he doesn't show that. He just does it. What was his name, Willard? The computer. Oh, wow. No, Hal is IBM. That's 2001. Watson! I will make you a wall to these people. A fortified wall of bronze, tough material because it's an alloy. They will fight against you but will not overcome you, for I am with you to rescue and save you, declares the Lord. And the last verse, I will save you from the hands of the wicked, redeem you from the grasp of the cruel. If the torture time comes, as predicted in the book of Revelation, the Christians shall be saved by the grace of God. Which I'm kind of happy about. Now, if we check out sooner, then it doesn't matter, because we're not going to be picked on. But God will protect his people. That's the one thing we've got going for us. God will protect his people if we let him. Any thoughts on 16? Oh, next week, I love the title. The Day of Disaster. Da, da, da. Give me some disaster music for next week. Well, not today. We're through. Thank you very much.